Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, December 6, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 6 on page 73, and into action, starting with the fourth paragraph, beginning with, "We must be entirely honest with somebody." And we'll be reading this one paragraph only, ending in, "People who do not understand alcoholics." We will be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Terry S. for the 12 Steps, Don B. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Nan K., Jordan L., and Julie E. B. Our newcomer greeter today is Kaylee R., and Reggie O. will do our announcements, and Lynn F. is kindly to record us today. The share ID for yesterday's Thursday, December 5th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,765. That's 13765. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, December 6th, 2019, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,768. That's 13768. OA Preamble. OA, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no positions on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. As a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Terry S. to read our 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Hi, this is Dawn B., recovered from Southern California, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communications. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
And thank you, Dawn B. And I'm sorry, I thought I was unmuted, but thank you, Terry S., for the 12 Steps of OA and Dawn B. for the 12 Traditions of OA. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted, and that does include the mute button on your phone. So please only use the star 1 to mute and unmute your phone. That way we have a nice quiet meeting. Thank you so much. We appreciate your cooperation in that. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. On page 73, we're in chapter 6, Into Action, and we're going to be on that fourth paragraph where it says we must be entirely honest with somebody. And we're going to finish on the top of page 74, ending with who do not understand alcoholics. We're going to be reading that one paragraph only. So would Nan Kay please read and get us started, please?
Hi, my name's Nan Kay from Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. Page 73, we must be entirely honest with someone if we expect to live long or happily in this world. Rightly and naturally, we think well before we choose the person or persons with whom to take this intimate and confidential step. Those of us belonging to a religious denomination which requires confession must, and of course, will want to go to the properly appointed authority whose duty it is to receive it. Though we have no religious connection, we may still do well to talk with someone ordained by an established religion. We often find such a person quick to see and understand our problem. Of course, we sometimes encounter people who do not understand alcoholics. We must be entirely honest if we expect to live a long or happily in this world. I didn't have a clue as to what this looked like. My first sponsor, who was a master sergeant in the Army, led me through my fourth and my fifth step. My somebody was always my sponsor. I was as honest as I could be. I was so broken, I did whatever I was told to do. I didn't know what I didn't know, and I didn't see what I didn't see. My second fifth step peeled back more layers, and then recently, my third fifth step got down to the tender layers. This last time I was shown the promises on the other side, which gave me hope, being delighted, being able to look the world in the eye, being at perfect peace and ease. My fears were going to fall away, and feeling close to my creator. I think honesty is a process, a growing process, and I'm so thankful that I am in the midst of this process, and that's all I have to share. Thank you for letting me, and I pass.
Thank you, Nan Kay, for getting us started. Okay, so I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're in Chapter 6, Into Action. We're on page 73, starting at that fourth paragraph at the bottom. We must be entirely honest with somebody. And we're reading that entire paragraph ending on page 74, who do not understand alcoholics. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Christina J.
Julie E.B.
Okay, so I have Christina J., I have Irene B. I have
Julie
E.B.
Woohoo!
And I can take three more.
Santa H.
All right.
Reggie O.
Wendy M.
Okay, two people came in at once.
Go ahead.
Oh, Stacy K.
I think I heard somebody before Stacy.
Wendy M.
Who M?
Wendy, W-E-N-D-Y, Wendy M.
Wendy M. Okay, so Stacy K., I will take you on the next round. You'll be the first one. So this is who I have: Christina J., Irene B., Julie E.B., Santa H., Reggie O., and Wendy M. Christina J., please go ahead, and you'll follow by Irene B.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Honored to be here this morning. God, the meeting this morning was great, and so is this one so far. I didn't really get too much into this chapter before I did my fifth step. I mean, I was just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. I just knew that I was not going to give my fifth step to a psychiatrist or to any church person or to a friend. These were people I couldn't trust. I mean, you think you could trust your church people, but unless someone understands my eating disease, they're not going to get it, and they're not going to be able to shine the light on the path that takes me from each column in the fourth step on that form, on those forms, to the final column that I begin to see the patterns of my behaviors, all for me that were driven by fear. And I needed someone who had experience with this big book to show me and to help me, not to give me advice. I mean, basically, when I got to that final column and my fourth step forms, everything was being revealed. As I read each one, I saw the pattern of my behaviors. So I now see that this chapter is slowly guiding, the beginning of this chapter is slowly guiding us to look at who we might give it to, why we might give it to them, why we might not give it to them, because this last sentence here, we sometimes encounter people who do not understand alcoholics, so I just cannot go there. I've got to have someone that I can be totally honest with, and I can't be honest with other people about this. This is personal stuff. This is stuff I'm ashamed of. This stuff stops people in their tracks. I had a lady in our one of the first OA meetings I went to, and we were talking about the fourth step that day. She was pretty new to program, and she was horrified. She sat there, and she said, "You mean I have to tell people about things I did that weren't right?" She says, "I can't do that." And she got up and left, and we never saw her again. I mean, maybe somebody saw her again, but we didn't. I've got to know and trust that this person is going to understand. And shaking in my boots, I went to it, giving my fifth step, and my sponsor understood. She sat peacefully and patiently. She says, "We've all done stuff. I've done everything you've done and probably more. And so we think well before choosing the persons." I didn't really have to think well. I had my sponsor. And I have to tell you that I went through that process once or twice, and I'm about to have to do it again today with some things that happened yesterday with my sponsor and someone else. I'm going to work through a couple of dishonest things that happened that I wasn't even aware of, and what drives these little tiny things that come up: unawareness and fear. Fear that I will be caught. Fear that I want my... It was selfishness. Selfishness on my part. And so, anyway, the work continues, and it's beautiful. And please, I mean, I'd say please try not to be afraid, but take the bit in your teeth and go to it, and you'll find freedom, and the sunlight of the Spirit will come in. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. And Irene B., you're up, followed by Julie E. B. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a very gratefully recovered bulimic. I'm recovered from bulimia, from the, but not so much from the self-hatred and all that. But God is working on me. Honesty, you have to be honest. I was just honest a second ago. I'm entirely honest, and I have not been able to be that because I was out of touch with myself. Once somebody told me in therapy, very first few therapists, they all said you needed to be honest in order to recover, and so I've been trying with all my heart, mind, and soul to be honest, but I couldn't be honest because I couldn't see myself. And I discovered that there was no need for the false self anymore. But because I had lived in denial and numbing myself and not wanting to see my reality and not being able to see my reality, I did not know who I was. But all I know is that I am not the perfect human being I wish I were, and all I need to be is to be the best that God intended me to be. And unfortunately, I don't have the power to do this. I've been trying to do this all my life. Well, actually, I was trying to be perfect, not just be my best. But I was unable to do any of this because I don't have the power in me. But through this program, I have learned to plug in, to connect with an infinite source of power. And without that power, I am nothing and I can do nothing. Lord knows I have tried. And my therapist and my sponsor, they help me process my daily situations and struggles. They give me clarity and help me with my honesty. My God squad and my daily 10-step partners, they're also an amazing, loving set of eyes that help me see my truth. You guys are an amazing set of beautiful, beautiful eyes. When you speak your story, you're talking about me, and then I'm discovering that I am not so unique. I am not damaged goods. I am not unlovable. I'm not rotten to the core. And every time I went to an eating disorders program, they didn't just set me up with a nutritionist. They didn't just set me up with a psychiatrist. They didn't just set me up with a social worker. These programs are multidisciplinary, because of the multifaceted aspect of our disease. And this program, abstinence, sponsor, therapist, the steps, everything, all of that together, you're my treatment center, you're my treatment plan, and through you guys and program and therapy and everything, I am able to achieve recovery because I can't do this alone. I need you guys to help me with this. None of this would work, though, if I'm not connected with my power. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Irene B. And Julie E. B., you're up, followed by Santa H. Good morning, Julie. Julie E. B., star one down here, please.
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered here in Colorado Springs. And I'm just, think this is just such a beautiful part of the big book, you know, I mean, honesty, I mean, there's so many people that have shared what that means for them. But for me, I remember when I did hit bottom and I was ready to get honest. And I shared with a sponsor that I had met in the rooms that, you know, I had stolen food and I was stealing food from my work, like $2 soup, because as it turned out, I'm so resentful against my boss, and this was some kind of part of my disease, but it was like, it wasn't like a financial necessity. It was just like a something that I was doing, and I felt so much shame, and it was a big bottom for me. And she was still in the food at that time, and she's like, okay, I got to go to my Al-Anon meeting. And I was like, what? So anyway, I called someone else from that meeting that I noticed had a lot of recovery. You know, she's just been traditional all a long time, but and she's like, oh yeah, I even got jobs where I could steal food, and I did this and I did that. And so one of the things I want to share, I guess, is that it is true that I want to think well before doing this, but most of all, I want to do it. Do I want someone understanding? But Bill's trying to help open our minds here. You can try a psychiatrist, you can try a religious person. They didn't have sponsors on every tree. If you don't have sponsors in your town, you know, whatever you need, call one of us, call somebody, you know, get yourself, you know, maybe you don't feel like you have a sponsor, you've been fired by your sponsor and need to get back into it. For me, the same is true with my 10 steps. Some people just share them with certain people. You know, a lot of times I'll just use the GroupMe outreach, and I find that, in the words of one of our fellows in New Jersey, I've learned to trust God's choreography. Beautiful words. And another one of our fellows says, I used to perseverate, and now I persist. So I just want to encourage people that are on the line from my experience, strength, and hope, that if you try and it doesn't go anywhere, they don't understand you, it's not a time to sit back and be that victim again. Oh, my sponsor didn't understand me, or this would have gone better. Just keep coming back. Keep persisting. And keep, that's a part of that honesty, is that no one, when I'm ready to recover, no one, nothing, no personality, no misunderstanding can get in my way. If I only take it to God, this book says in a little bit, it may work, but it's something that we can do. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie B. Santa H., you're up, followed by Reggie O. Good morning, Santa.
Good morning. Good morning to my fellows, and special thank you to Team Friday. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And what came up for me is that I think back when I first came into the rooms, I came into a vision for you. And I thought this process was going to be pretty easy for me, that, you know, I can just read the book and just follow the instructions. And so the first time I'd done it, I had so much fear that I didn't trust. I didn't trust for a long, long time before I came into program. And so when I came in, when I got to my fifth step, I decided, took the book literally. I did some with my therapist. I did a few of them with my pastor at the time, and I did a few of them with fellows, and some of them I just didn't do because I'm like, okay, I told God that was good enough. And then after I was finished with it all, and I'm bragging that I'm recovered and I did this all by myself without a sponsor, and I called a dear fellow in program that just loved her to death, to pieces today. She said to me that the big book says we are to do it with God. We are to admit this to God, to ourselves, and to another person, not persons. And that really helped me to see a deeper level of truth, of faith that I needed to go. And I was able to really, she confirmed for me something I already knew, that I needed to trust. I needed to go beyond the level of trust that I had and just go on faith. And I'm so grateful that I did it. About 6 months later, I did get a sponsor. And I did go through the fifth step, and I was as honest as I could be at that time. And it was a revolutionary change. The change that occurred for me, the many years I've been in therapy, could never have done, never have completed the freedom that I received from doing the fifth step through a sponsor, because it was someone who was able to relate to what I was going through and was able to see my character defects in a way that a therapist, a pastor, a minister, or any other person out there could not have done that doesn't understand the 12-step process. So I just wanted to share that with, you know, any newcomers out there, not to try to do this by yourself. you know, get to a sponsor. There are plenty of people in this program that are willing to work with you, and you can develop that trust, and you too can join us on the high road of freedom. And with that, I pass.
On to 8. And Reggie O, you're up, followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Reggie.
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. And thanks again for your service, Sherry. My name is Reggie O, and I'm very gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And boy, you know, like is with every paragraph, they just keep getting better every time I read them. We must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. And then it goes on to talk about this intimate and confidential step, you know, and it is both of those things, because we have the opportunity to share with another human being who understands and who has probably been there and done that, their version of that at some point, and can share that with us. And that's, you know, I think that speaks to the fact of how, you know, it really is. I you know, the professionals are wonderful, and you know, we have a doctor who wrote the first section of this book and changed the course of alcoholism, treatment for alcoholism. But you know, no one can understand another compulsive overeater. No one can understand another alcoholic unless you've been there, done that, because there's a particular kind of insanity that goes along with it that no one knows until they've done it. So how could you possibly really understand what's going on with another person? And I think that, you know, the addicts, compulsive overeaters, we know that. And not only that, the whole idea of honesty, you know, in the doctor's opinion, I think it's on page 30, you know, the only relief we have to suggest is entire. There's the word entire again. You know, the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And some people would say, you know, that honesty is the principle of the first step. So we learn to be honest in our lives as we learn to be honest with our food. When I first came into OA many, many years ago, there wasn't a lot of work done with the 12 steps, but there was some man in the fellowship who had written a book that everybody was reading at the time, and they had studied a lot of compulsive overeaters with long-term abstinence. And what they found, that the first thing that they all had in common most of the time was that they told someone else, they were honest about one other person about everything in their lives. And it was like, oh my goodness, wow. And so my recovery early on, that's what I decided to do when I finally said I've got to do this and was willing to do whatever it took. I decided to tell one person, my sponsor, first of all, I was committing my food at that point daily, and I would tell her everything in my life, not withholding nothing. And it was an amazing, really, way to live. And I yet, you know, honesty is a learned process. When I first came into program, honesty to me was not telling an outright lie. And boy, there are so many, you know, there are so many other layers of honesty. And it's an ongoing process, so I have to keep, you know, I'm so grateful that we have a step 10 that we're, you know, we're really drilled to do daily, because that helps us stay on the path of progress. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Reggio. And Wendy M., before we hear from Wendy M., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 73, the fourth paragraph, and it says, we must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long and happily. So we'll be taking more names, and we're going to have Stacey K. start first, but before then, we're going to hear from Wendy M. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. My name is Wendy, and I'm a compulsive eater and recovering bulimic. And I'm so happy to be on this meeting again. It was my first meeting yesterday, and so I introduced myself as a newcomer to the meeting. And I received so many calls, and I'm so grateful for that, and texts also. I have been in OA for a while, but I have not. This is my second time on the Vision for You, and I really, really do enjoy the meeting. Entirely honest, I had no idea what that meant when I came in here, and I was in a big book study, and we just kind of walked through the book very quickly, looking back, it probably wasn't, you know, in my point of view, the best way, knowing what I know now, wasn't the best way to do it, but I was desperate. And so I did what I was told to do. And I had no idea, you know, it says, and how it works, you know, there are such unfortunates who cannot be, and I'm not saying this correctly, but who cannot be honest with themselves. They are not at fault. They have seemed to be born that way. But they can get it if they keep trying. And I think it took me a few years just to know what honest with myself was. Not, you know, not counting being honest with others, just being honest with myself. And as I've gone through the layers of peeling off the onion, going through the steps, I am learning what that honesty is. I'm learning how to catch myself when I'm angry, listen to the anger. I am learning how, you know, when I'm reacting with something, there's usually fear under it. And what does that mean for me? You know, and I have to look at that. And then I talk to my sponsor about it. I'm doing step work again. That I'm peeling off another layer. And I it's hard. It's difficult stuff. But I know that I need to do it if I am to remain abstinent. And I, you know, I say I'm a recovering bulimic. I when I eat something too much or something, I still have those thoughts of how am I going to get rid of it? You know, what am I going to do to take it off? These extra calories. You know, it's not a matter of purging it anymore, but still using some, you know, some ideas of I can go out and walk a couple miles and I should be good. That's bulimic behavior. And when I don't overeat, I don't have those thoughts. When I don't eat something that, you know, is in my gray area that I'm not sure about and that it feel icky after I do it, I have those thoughts. So I think for me, I will always be a recovering bulimic. I work the program to the best of my ability. I am doing the best I can to be honest, not only with myself, but with my sponsor. And I am very careful at who I don't go to a meeting and throw up at it and tell people, you know, this and this and this and this, which I have no business doing. That's my sponsor's job, for me to tell my sponsor. And I am so glad to be able to speak today, and thank you. I will pass.
Thank you, Wendy. Okay, so we have a lineup so far of Stacy K. Who else would like to share on page 73, the fourth paragraph?
Barbara E.
Therese L.
Barbara E.
Caroline L.
Therese L.
Jenny.
I'm sorry, hold on, please. Was that Carol L. or Sarit, or did I hear both?
Therese L.
I did
hear
Therese L.
And Caroline L.
You did.
Caroline L.
Jordan L.
We got some L's going here. Okay. And Jordan L. All right. We got a lot of L's happening here today. Okay, let's take one more.
Jenny.
Jenny, and your first initial of your last name, Jenny?
Jenny R.
R. Okay, thank you, Jenny. All right, so we have Stacy K, Barbara B E, excuse me, Barbara E, Sarit L, Carolyn L, Jordan L, and Jenny R. Stacy K, please go ahead. Good morning.
Sorry. Good morning, everybody. Do you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Good morning. This is Stacy K from Colorado. Oh, there's that honesty word again, guys. Entirely honest. Yeah, we're going to hear about this over and over again in this book, so I guess it's important. And I think the first honesty is that I'm powerless. You know, that I'm powerless over food and that my life has become unmanageable, you know, and it seems with that comes so much. Just that is huge, right, for me to admit that. If I can't admit that, then, you know, I can't really go any further in the steps, certainly. And, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, when I'm honest with another person, like here we're talking about, you know, who's going to hear our fifth step, right? This is a pretty big deal. It's always been my sponsor. I've not, given the fifth step to anybody else, but that is, you know, that's, of course, the book says that's fine, you know. So what do I got to do? I got to pray for sure, and be willing. And that's where, the, you know, like with that powerless comes like this humility, where I'm just so, I want help so desperately that I will do, I will follow these directions. And so I'm just really grateful, and I'm grateful for the uncovering that happens, because I get to be more and more honest as I go along. There are some things that I didn't see at my very first, you know, fourth and fifth step. And that's okay, you know, because there's more steps and I get to go through the steps again, you know, if I want. So anyway, that's all I had to share. Thank you.
Stacy K. Barbara E., you're up, followed by Sarit L. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for hearing my name. That sentence at the bottom of page 73, we must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. That's a warning. I cannot be dishonest, but I have to tell you that I really think my moral compass was broken from the time I was born. I had no North Star. It didn't bother me to steal from my mother's pocketbook. It didn't bother me to eat food from the cabinet that was not mine. It didn't bother me unless I got caught. Then when I got caught, cheating at school, I recklessly chose to cheat at school when I didn't need to. And when I got caught, there was a resentment that I was caught. I had to recognize my brokenness and be willing to be perfectly honest and strip myself bare, use that roto-rooter that we talk about, and scrape away the barnacles on the ship, to mix my metaphors, and to choose the correct sponsor, because this is important. I have to choose the right person, because I am a fearful person. I am fearful that you will see me for what I am and not like me. I am fearful that I will never get to sit at the cool kids' table. I feel invisible. I feel like I'm just a puff of smoke. So every day I now know that by working steps 10, 11, and 12, my life can indeed be changed. Those bedevilments that used to hound me no longer do. The wind doesn't howl outside my window. I can live patiently with calamity and look at it with serenity. I can be obedient. I can be less opinionated, less angry, but I can't do it. I missaid that if I said I can't. I have to reach out and know that God's hand is there, and God is going to do it and remove my grosser defects as he, she, or it sees willing. I have no power. I am powerless over everything, certainly over my compulsive overeating. I've been blessed with 2 decades of abstinence and lost over 130 pounds, but I couldn't have done it without this program. The tools helped me from committing suicide, but the steps are helping me to avoid committing homicide of everyone. And the people that I do service with are not just within the rooms, without the rooms. If someone is standing in front of me in line and has 20 items in their basket and it's a checkout counter, I don't count. That's how I know I'm recovered. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Sarit L., you're up, followed by Caroline L. Sarit, good morning.
Okay, thank you so much for your service. It's Sarit L., a recovered compulsive eater in Montreal. Maury, Montreal. So the honesty that everyone's speaking about, it's really one of the fundamental aspects, you know, the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness that are essential requirements to work this program. And I guess specifically, the point I wanted to bring out is that specifically regarding the fifth step, for me, the honesty came over time. I've been working the fifth step. I've done it a few times, many more than a few times. And each time I've been ready. I've been revealed to be, you know, giving over more information, and God reveals that to me. And I've been revealing more and more each time I've done a fifth step, more has been revealed to me. And so I've been revealing more to my sponsor. And that's just because how free do I want to be? You know, we say that sentence all the time, and it comes up in each step. And so for me in this step, it was, I'm going to go to any length because I want that freedom. And I've told sponsors very private, personal information. And so it is a hard step. The fifth step is a very hard step. Choosing the right person is very critical, and very private and personal information. And the anonymity part is, it's confidential. So it is very imperative that you feel comfortable with the person that you're talking to, that I needed that for myself. And the other thing about the honesty is that, not specifically just in this step, but in general, living, if I wanted to live long and happily, I needed to have that honesty, and I need to live by that every single day. And what happened was that in the past, I would live by this line obsessively. I would apologize profusely because I had to get rid of the garbage from the day, and I had to get rid of it on you so that I could be free. And so saying I'm sorry compulsively, that was the I. I wanted the freedom, but it was at the expense of my husband, my kids. It was the I that I had to look at. There were times that I was being selfish while I was being honest. It was at someone else's expense. And then that's when I need help, and I need to consult my sponsor and see where I need to be honest and how. And it's in the actions and the words, ultimately, it's in the actions that I am truly recovering and showing and demonstrating my recovery in all my affairs. So the honesty is, there's cash register honesty, there's the dark honesty that's clear, black and white, but there's also this honest, the honest piece that I cannot go that compulsive, obsessive, other side of the disease way. I need to walk it through the top of my higher power so that I'm not being selfish while I'm being honest. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sarit. And Caroline L., you're up, followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Caroline. Star 1 to unmute, please. Caroline L. Caroline L.
Hi, this is Caroline L. Thank you so much for your service. I am a compulsive overeater and grateful to be here. Yes, it's very interesting for me. The fourth step is coming up in January for me. And because the first two times I did it, it was, I thought I was being honest, but I was also trying to control my recovery, control my food plan. So this will be my first time completely surrendering my disease, my food, my control to God, completely with all of that. And it'll just be interesting what comes up. But yes, complete honesty is key. And I've found since being OA that I've become even more honest. And it's the times before that, it wasn't that I was saying lies, but I just wouldn't tell complete truth. And that is a lie. And so I'm grateful that I am just able to be more truthful and just can look myself in the eye in the mirror. And truly with that, and then also finding someone that I trust. And I'm so grateful that the sponsor I had the first two times I shared, that I was able to be as honest as I knew. And my new sponsor, I'm just so grateful that I know I'll be able to tell her whatever I need to tell her when that time comes. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you. Carolyn L. Okay, Jordan L. and Jenny R., you could have about 2 minutes each. If you would go ahead and do that, that way it'll take us out on time. Jordan, go ahead, please.
Good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Crested Butte, and grateful to be on my line. And I'm glad that all of you guys are here, too. Because after practicing this for a little while, I realized more and more that I can't do this alone. And I think that was I think that my fifth step, the one that I did a couple of years ago with my sponsor, initially going through the steps, I think that was the first time that I truly realized that, that I truly understood the fact that, like, I was not going to be able to do this alone. I had to be willing to let another person in, let another person be exposed myself to another person. And I think for me that was really important, only because I was so like absurdly independent, to where I just wanted to get through this world depending on me and me only. Like I didn't want to have to deal with other people. And there's still a part of me that continues to practice that fierce independence in some aspects of my life. Like, that's something that I continue, it continues to be revealed to me as I grow closer to this higher power, right? So for me, having that other person was very, very important to get that other person involved and to be vulnerable and exposed and raw with another individual. And luckily, I had a sponsor that we had established that connection. And so I was very comfortable revealing that to this person. But I also, there's another part to this, to where we're learning to be dependent upon a higher power. We're learning to rely on the protection and care of a higher power here, right? Like, we're not meant to be fully dependent on one other person. It's truly like there's two higher powers that we're trying to establish a connection with here. That's the God of our own conception or understanding, and this fellowship. You know, like, it's really important that it's not just one other person that I am placing all of my eggs into that person's basket. You know, because the fact of the matter is, like, you can have the best friggin' sponsor in the entire world, that person is still human. That person is still infallible. That person will let you down at some point, you know? Okay. Like, that's the point of being human. So we learn to rely on the fellowship as a whole, because there's power in numbers. There's incredible power in compulsive overeaters coming together. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share, Sherry.
Thanks, Jordan. Now, I'm sorry, Jenny R., that's all the time we have today. I hope that you will call back on Monday and share. I want to thank everyone who participated today in the meeting. Our team Friday, Terry S., Don B., Nan K., Jordan L., Julie B., and Kaylee R. is our newcomer greeter. And our announcements will be Reggio, and Lynn S. was recording us today. So thank you all for a wonderful meeting today. After that, we will have We're going to now close with a reading from a big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And would Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Jordan?
Yes, am I still unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Oh, perfect. Okay, sorry. Jordan L. still recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in